So I wanted to do something. I can't beat John Russo off the top of my head, but I did want to do something for those of you looking for something a little different. I wanted to do a little bit of discussion about tefillah, and particularly a discussion of the first three brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei. I'll do this obviously without source sheets. But Rabbi Glasser, Mirtz Hashem, will be better. He's a little under the weather. And hopefully it'll be a very meaningful experience for all of us. Perhaps the most difficult thing about praying the Shemoneh Esrei is the fact that we're talking to no one, or we're talking to nothing. I remember in my days when I used to work for NCSY in New Jersey, so I would often do clubs in the afternoon in various public high schools around New Jersey. And I would often end up davening mincha on the side of the road, one way or another. I wouldn't always make the 2:30 mincha at YU. Sometimes I'd have to leave a little before. Sometimes I'd be a little busy. And I'd have to figure out, how in the world am I going to daven mincha at some point before I get to this public high school? So for those of you who are a little bit younger, so there used to be something. I used to pull into a gas station. Right? The first few times I pulled into a gas station, it was very difficult for me to have kavana, because, you know, we always know that feeling of when you're davening in an airport, or where you're davening in a place like that, and it doesn't feel right. You think everybody's looking at you. You start asking yourself questions. Maybe they think Jews are crazy because they talk to themselves. You look like you're nuts. So how do you figure it out? So today we would just stand on the side of our car, because we all have SUVs, so we could hide behind our car. But in those days, the Toyota that I was driving was about this far off the ground, and there was really no place to hide from looking like I was talking to myself at the side of the road. So what I did was, and again, this is going to be a little difficult for some of you to understand, there used to be this thing called a phone booth. It's a very strange thing. Very strange. The phone booth was based on an interesting concept. It wasn't just based on the concept that you had to be plugged in to make a phone call, but that if you wanted to make a phone call, not everyone should hear what you're saying, which again is a very old concept, that you might want to do it in privacy. So there used to be this, like, it's just a piece of plastic or glass, and you walked inside and you picked up the phone and you made a phone call and you closed the door behind you so no one could hear what you're saying. So I used to do this at the gas station. It would work out much better. I would take three steps forward into the phone booth. I would pick up the phone. I'd even put a quarter in for whatever that's worth. And I would daven Shemoneh Esrei. I would put down the phone. I would take three steps back. And voila! It was a normal conversation. And the other thing I realized, besides solving the problem of how not to look like an idiot in the gas station, was that I was davening much better than I usually do, because it's normal to talk on a phone and not have someone on the other end. And one of the challenges of tefillah is to make tefillah real, to make it real. And it's so difficult to talk to a God who is invisible and unknowable and make it a real conversation. So what can we do? What can we do to try to get some meaning to our tefillah in that sense, that it seems more natural? It seems like it makes sense. It seems like we're talking to God in a way that feels right. So I ask you, I don't have much time to go through. We have to be done by 5:20. 5:20. Somebody give me that. I keep carrying around the sign that says 5 minutes remaining. So now you have to do that to me. So what are we supposed to be thinking when we're talking to God? I'm sure that on a good day, let's face it, on a bad day we have nothing in mind because we're not thinking about God at all. We're not even thinking about the Shemoneh Esrei. But on a good day, when we're having a meaningful conversation, for those of you who are just coming in now, I'm sorry, my name is not Rabbi Yaakov Glasser. Someday I aspire to be Rabbi Yaakov Glasser, but he couldn't be here. So we're doing something a little bit different. We're talking a little bit about tefillah. Feel free to pop out if it's an unexpected turn of events for you. What are we supposed to be thinking when we are praying? How are we supposed to imagine God on a good day? On a good day, when we're really thinking, what do you think of? Do you think of him as a king? Do you think of him as someone sitting on a chair somewhere? Do you imagine him to be smoke, fire, light, something? The answer is, if you don't think about him in any way, then you're probably not having such a meaningful conversation. Because a conversation implies that there are two parties who are talking to each other. So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to possibly figure out what we're supposed to be thinking about God when we're talking to him? So I'd actually like to make a suggestion today. And hopefully we'll have time to get through it in a little bit of time that we have here together. But I'd like to make a suggestion. I think that our rabbis understood this problem. I think they prepared us for this problem. And I think that solving this problem, figuring out what I'm supposed to be thinking about when I talk to God, can be Shmona Esrei changing, if not life changing, depending on how seriously we take it. So our rabbis tell us in the Gemara and Brachos that La'olam Yisader Adam Shivcho Shel Makom Ve'achar Kach Yitpalel. A person should organize the praises of God and then they should pray. It's interesting. What is prayer synonymous with in this statement? We all know that the Shemoneh Esrei has three parts, right? Praise of God, asking for stuff, thanking God. So when the Gemara tells us that we should prepare the praise of God and then we should pray, what does that tell us about what's the most important part of prayer? The asking stuff, which is interesting, because we usually think the opposite. When it comes to a human, what the main part is, what they want, is the praise and the thanks. And if we do that well enough, then we get to ask for things. Right? We always get these phone calls during dinner. Thank you so much for your past support. Could you please give us a donation? So usually it goes the other way around. But when it comes to God, it's the opposite. But that's for a different time. But this Shevach that we start the Shmoneh Esrei with, what is the purpose of starting the Shmoneh Esrei with praise? So again, we're going to collapse a longer shiur. I'm going to take a little less audience participation than we normally would. It could be that it's to get us in the mood. Because if I were really going in front of a king, I would start with a certain amount of praise and then I would continue. But it could very well be that it's there for another reason, and that is to describe God to ourselves. To describe God to ourselves, to remind ourselves before whom we're speaking, before we get to the main part of the davening, which we said is the asking of the question. Before we start asking for things, we have to remember, to whom are we talking? But here, the design of the Shmoneh Esrei becomes very, very strange. Because there is a religion that thinks that when you speak to God, you should use three different ways of reflecting about Him. Isn't it strange? We are so monotheistic, but when we introduce God to ourselves, we do so in three different prophets. Wouldn't you expect that our religion in particular, if we were going to reintroduce ourselves to God, it would only be one bracha? What's the idea that we have three different, that sounds a little funny for Judaism, to do that? So I want to quickly look at these three brachos backwards, we'll see. We'll start with Akela Kadosh. And suggest what the rabbis were trying to do when they gave us this three-part introduction. But I want to do so with an introduction of itself. Because it is sort of being recorded somewhere up there, and I don't want to get in a lot of trouble. There's a fascinating comment of the Sefer HaIkarim. Sefer HaIkarim was written by Rabbi Yosef Alvo in the 1300s. He deals with the question of a jealous God. What does it mean? God tells us again and again that he is jealous. Now, jealousy, he points out, is not something you respect. Jealousy is not a particularly good characteristic. Why does God consider
consistently refer to himself as jealous.
If in a human being we see that as a negative trait. And he answers as follows, and it's very important to understand this shir and not to misunderstand this shir. Says Rav Yosef Albo, you know why God says he's jealous? Because we should act as if he's a jealous spouse. We should act as if he's a jealous spouse. When we walk past a base avodah zarah, or even maybe a church, we should think of God as a jealous spouse, and therefore not pay so much attention to what's over there. Is God really jealous? Does he get all hot under the collar when we point out that that's a very nice stained glass window? He doesn't. We can't upset God in that way. We can't really get his nose puffing, as it says, by Yichar Ach Hashem. But, says the Sefer Eikarim, the more we think of God as human, the more that we're able to relate to him, and the better we can behave in a relationship with him. So he doesn't actually get jealous, and it would be embarrassing to God to get jealous. It's embarrassing to all of us when we're jealous. But better that, to put us in the right frame of mind to understand. So when we speak of ways to relate to God, says the Sefer Eikarim, better to have a mistaken view of what God is, but think of him in a way that we can relate to him, than not to have any relationship at all. And I'll give you one example, which we'll come back to. We speak of God as Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. I'm going to tell you a secret. He's not our father, and he's not our king. Those are insults. God is not a father. God is not even a king. So why do we use those phrases? Why do we call him our father? Why does he say in the Torah, you are my children? Because that tells us something about a relationship. When God speaks in the Navi, through the Nevi'im, and says that he's our husband, that's a little weird. That's a little strange. And he speaks of us in intimate ways. Is that really what God is? Well, those human relationships give us a picture of how to relate to him. They give us a path of how to relate. And without them, we have nothing. It is a blob. And we can't have anyone on the other side of the phone when we're talking to him. I would suggest that the three brachos that start off the Shmona Esrei, which are in praise of God, really present to us three different ways of relating to God. And I'll show you that because they're so radically different, which again is so weird, that the one God should be described in three very different ways. What's the third bracha? Atah kadosh, v'shimcha kadosh, right? U'kadoshim b'chol yom yihallelucha sev. You are holy, your name is holy, holy ones praise you, blessed are you God, who's very holy. If you think about it, you may never have, this bracha says absolutely nothing. I mean, it says he's very holy, and it says it four times. It's very short, most of the year. Very, very short. What are we saying about God? What are we saying about relating to God in this bracha? Well, what does holy mean? You've heard this before. Holy means separate, right? Holy doesn't mean holy, it means different, separate. The third bracha of Shmona Esrei speaks of God, as Rabbi Soloveitchik put it, in transcendence. It speaks of the fact that one of the ways to relate to God is being apart from us, different from us. That's why the bracha is so short. Because the whole point of the bracha is to say that when I relate to you, sometimes when I relate to you, you seem really, really distant. There's not a lot to say. And my goal when I pray is just to sort of make contact. One time a year, the bracha gets, or twice a year, it gets a little bit longer. When is that? Aseret Yemei Teshuva on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why? Because those days we're closer to God. And God becomes not a Kel, which is a distant, powerful force, but a Melech, which is much more real. The third bracha of Shemona Esrei describes God as a distant force. Now let me ask you a question. If you were trying to make a Shemona Esrei real, how would you talk to a distant force? How would you stand? If you were imagining God when you were davening as this very distant kind of transcendental force, where would you be looking? I know this sounds very corny, but if you're trying to make it real, probably up, right? You might daven like this. And some people do daven like this. And that's fine. But just realize that by looking up in that way, we're relating to God as sort of being otherworldly and above this world. And that's fine. And that is the third bracha of Shemona Esrei. That's one of the ways that we relate to
it. How about if you close your eyes?
What?
How about if you close
your eyes? It could also be closing my eyes and trying to, although closing my eyes could just be to paint the picture of however he is. We'll see that in a moment. But it could very well be, right? That's the third bracha. Now go to the second bracha for a second. So different than the third bracha, they may not have ever realized. Atagibor le'olam Hashem. Machaya me'simat. Right? You are very, very involved in this world. The second bracha of Shemona Esrei describes God in a radically different way, as being super involved with people. Not kadosh. You're the one who provides everyone with life, you provide them with food, you provide them with health. What's special in, it's hard to do it without a sitter in front of me, but what special in do we have with this force who provides us everything? So if you would go through the bracha inside, if I had the source sheets in front of me or a sitter in front of you, you'd see that there's really no in that we have with this being. He's in charge of everything. He's in charge of our life and death. Literally, our life and death are in his hands. He's incredibly powerful. He makes everything happen around us. Oh, I have it here, but I can't show it to you there. That's okay. What would you call a being who was all powerful, in charge of life and death, in charge of making sure that everybody's taken care of, but for whom I'm like a nobody?
A king.
A king. A king. The second bracha of Shemona Esrei effectively describes God as a king. All powerful. Everything is in his hands. But I'm just, you know, I get what I deserve. I'm part of the masses of people. Now let me ask you a question. We pointed out that the third bracha, which describes God as being very distant, I might stand like this. But if I'm imagining that God is a king, so that would be a little strange, right? I'd imagine I'd be kind of more like this, right? Now, it doesn't mean that you should daven like this or you should daven like this, but the point seems to be that how you're relating to God would affect the very way you stand in Shemona Esrei, never mind what's in your mind, where your hands are, where your eyes are. And there are people who do this, right? And there are people who this would also probably be. That whole thing. It's great. Wonderful. Just realize that that is choosing a certain way of relating to God. And any way is better than none. Well, let's quickly go to the first part. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Abraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. Very, very different feel. Now, this being is also very, very powerful, as we see in the bracha. But far from being an unnamed servant, I have a relationship with this being. The first bracha of Shemona Esrei is so much different from the second and third. The third describes him as being distant. The second describes him as being right here. But I have no end. The first one points out a fascinating fact. That my great-grandfather was his best friend. You know who I am. I'm Abraham's Einickel something. Whatever. Right? That's the family I'm from. You know him, you know Yitzchak, you know Yaakov. I'm the kid. That's who I am. Look who's here. You're my dad.
The first bracha of Shemona Esrei describes God as a very, very powerful being who loves me, who's known me since the day I was born, who's known me about me before I was even born. And we would call that a father or a mother. The first bracha of Shemona Esrei effectively describes God as a father being, all powerful, but knows me, loves me, wants me to succeed. Let me ask you the question a third time. If I was speaking to this being, so how would I doubt Mishmon Esrei?
It's
got to
be a problem somewhere.
Yeah, well, it's certainly not, this would be like, hello, right? I'm not so much taller than you. This would be, is there something terribly wrong? If I imagine that God is my father, and sometimes we feel like that, and we'd have a much different stance when we doubt it. Sort of just like this. Right? Smiling. Feeling good to be with him. Feeling like he wants us to succeed. Imagine if God was our father when we prayed. So it just means that if at that moment you're thinking of God as your father, certain modes of prayer are going to be weird. Imagine someone coming at the door and knocking at the door and saying, "Help, Dad, open up the door, please, please, help, help." Oh my God. Father comes running to the door. What is it? What is it? He goes, what do you need? I need, I don't know how to say this to you. I'm too little. I'm too whatever. What do you need? I need to borrow a nickel. Now, whatever we're asking for in Shemona Esrei, including winning the lottery, is easier for God than getting a nickel out of a human being. It all depends on how we're thinking about God at that time.
So do we have to make a decision?
That's the question.
Why the order?
Obviously.
You can't.
So the point is, what I'm trying to say, which you may never have thought about before, is that there seem to be, and the Svarim speak about, three different ways of relating to God. There are three primary ways of relating to God. One is to see him as a father. One is to see him as a king. And the other is to imagine that he's really a distant force and I'm just trying to make a connection. And what I would argue is that if he's all three,
you're just lost.
Perhaps the reason why the Shemona Esrei starts with these three brachos about a singular God is to offer us three options for making a real connection with him. And he himself defends in the Torah these ways of relating to him. Because he himself speaks about times where he feels more like a loving relationship with us. And times where, like a king, he might be judging us and giving us exactly what we deserve, no more, no less. And times, like we read about in the Tovacha, where he seems to be very, very distant. These are not simply three ways of relating to God, but we're told by our rabbis three ways that God relates to us. Sometimes we relate to God as a chesed giver, a chesed provider. That's when he's operating like a father. We don't earn it. He just gives us things. Sometimes we speak of God as sitting on the chair of din, sitting on the chair of judgment, like during the 10 days of tshuva. And in those days, he's acting like a melech hakadosh. And there are other times, during the 3 weeks, where Tishah B'Av itself, where we feel like God is just so distant, such a wall between us and me, that we just want to try to connect. How do we decide how to relate to God in any particular phrase. Because I'm suggesting that the more we pick a path, the more we'll be able to make it real. And that these are three legitimate, founded in the Torah, in the Svarim, these are three legitimate ways to relate to God and to make it much more real than our typical Shmoneh Esrei with a smoke and a fire and something. Sometimes we should be relating to God as just trying to make that connection. Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani, God, why have you, where are you, what are you thinking? Sometimes bowing our heads and realizing that God is like a king. We're afraid of him. Not a distant force, but a force that's very real in our lives. Sometimes we have moments where we think about God as a father. Everything's wonderful. We feel that hug. Not always. What I would suggest is that these three brachos at the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei are three options that we should consider every time we read. Imagine if you saw the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei as a menu of sorts. Three brachos. The goal not simply to remind us everything that God is, but the goal to give us three, and that's why they're divided into three different brachos, because they have to stand independently to be meaningful. Yes, in the back of our minds, we remember that he's all of the three, and really he's none of the three. He's not really our father. He's not really a king. He's not even really a distant force, because we can't understand it. But these three options are before us to direct the main part of our Shmoneh Esrei.
So they're portals. Portals,
exactly.
That
is
the name that he uses, like a Pim, which is a prophet, and Kel, which is like more serious.
Yeah. And Hashem, which is
which is the roughest.
Right. So
kind of matches up.
Yeah, more complicated than that, but yes. Yeah.
I'm a little troubled by the fact that the requests are much easier to make given the meaning that's involved.
Ah,
so
could
I'm
be.
Wondering why it starts off with the one you're the father and then makes it more
crispy. Could be.
I think that the
one would
be
question.
Different.
So I'm going to suggest the following. And we're doing this super quick. The simplest way to figure out which one to use is the one that feels right at the given time. There's nothing wrong. Right? If you feel close to God, that Shmoneh Esrei. So say it like you mean it. If you feel like God is judging you, or you're feeling fear of him at that time, if you're feeling distant from him, that's probably the simplest answer. Use these as guides and make it real. But there may be something more. We're familiar with the concept that at different times of the year, God has us relate to him in different ways. Adar, Av, Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Because God created us. And he created us in such a way that we need to choose something to make it real. And not only that, we need to give it a little bit of time, right? We need to get into it. We can't always just relate to him as father, king, distant force. It's like, take times out of the year and let's use all of your emotions, all the parts of your personality to define the individual. What if the same thing is true for a day?
For what?
For a day. For a day. So, you've all probably learned at some point the piece in the Babylonian Talmud, listen closely, that talks about why we pray three times a day. And you've all heard that it's because we have three patriarchs, but why do we have three patriarchs? We haven't had three avos, or because there were three korbanos in the Mikdash, even though there are really only two and leftovers. Okay. There's another opinion in the Jerusalem Talmud. The Jerusalem Talmud says something that is so astoundingly simple that it's astonishing we never thought about it before. That the reason why we pray three times a day is because there's three times of a day. Morning, afternoon, and night. That's what the Jerusalem Talmud says. Because there's morning, afternoon, and night. And one nice way of thinking about it is that we're always supposed to be relating to God throughout our day. In other words, the recent custom of shuls to have what's called Mincha Ma'ariv is the worst thing that ever happened. Because every once in a while we're supposed to check in with God three times a day, and we've made it two times a day. But listen closely, either Ramchal or Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzacher says something mind-blowing. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzacher says in the Derech Hashem that God wanted us to relate to Him in different ways at different times of the day. And so that we would know how He wants us to relate to Him, He used the most obvious thing that you couldn't miss unless you spent half the day in a hotel inside. And that is whether light is coming, light is going, or light has disappeared. When God is facing us, when He's facing us and taking care of us, we speak of it as light. What do we say at the beginning of the Brichot Kohanim? Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. Light is associated with good, with care. Did you ever think about the fact that every day, for a portion of the day, there's more and more light? For a portion of the day, the light is being taken away. And then for a portion of the day, there's nothing there. Says the Ramchal that in the morning, we're supposed to relate to the light of God, the chesed of God. And that's why we say, Lehagid baboker chazdecha. The afternoon, our rabbis tell us, is about the times in our life where things unfortunately need to be taken away. Bedin, like a king. And at night, that we don't sense Him at all, and the light seems so different, all we're left is ve'emunascha balelos. Says the Ramchal, every single day contains three different indications from God as to how He wants us to relate to Him. In the morning, we're supposed to relate to His chesed. In the afternoon, as the sun goes down, we're supposed to relate to din, the fact that it's sometimes taken away. At night, we're supposed to relate to the fact that we sometimes can't relate to Him. This aligns incredibly well with what we suggested. A father, a king, and a distant force. I still hold that if you're feeling very close to God at any given moment, you should go with that. You should go with the Father. But the reason why we pray three times a day is because there are three primary ways to reach God. And in the morning, when the sun is coming out and we're relating to the chesed of God, is a wonderful time to focus on the first bracha of Shmona Esrei and think of Him and relate to Him like a father. And in the second portion of the day, when the sun is being taken away and we're relating to His justice, we probably want to stand a little more like we're standing in front of a king. And at night, I always take a look out the window before I daven mayim. And I remember that at that moment, God feels very, very distant. And I try to focus on the third bracha of Shmona Esrei, Hakelecha. This is not simply a way of davening Shmona Esrei. This has affected the way that we surround the prayer with other prayers. In the morning, what do? Lahagid baboker chazdecha. So what do? We make it long. We say Psukei deZimra. We talk about all the wonders of nature because the morning is about the chesed of God. What do at mincha? Nothing. Because when I stand before a king, if I imagine I'm standing before a king, I'm just happy I had a little bit of time with him. And at night, it's muted. I'm not standing in front of the king. I'm not just trying to get in and out as fast as I can. But I add an extra bracha to the end of the Birchos Kriyas Shema. In the morning, I say three brachos. Yotzer Ame'orot and Avar Rabba. He created the world. He loves the Jewish people. And then I say what before Shmon Esrei? Ga'al Yisrael. At night, I can't end there because night is about Emunah. Night is about wondering when the next one is coming. So after I say Ga'al Yisrael, I say Shomer Amo Yisrael Emunas Chabalei. What if we daven each Shmon Esrei differently every day? it would make something that seems so repetitious so real. In the morning, if we related to God, if we spoke to God just like this, if we poured out whatever we need, talk to him just like this, like you'd talk to a parent. In the afternoon, mincha, a little bit of a different stance. Imagine trembling in front of a king, and at night, look out the window, see the darkness, and say, God, how do I reach you? How do we get your help? If you don't believe me, I'll end with this. Because until now, it's like, you know, oh, that's interesting. That could be, I guess. Maybe we'll try that. That's the absolute truth. I promise you, and I'll prove it to you right now. Because the Talmud tells us that, remember the piece that we all did learn, that where did we get the three prayers from? The three of us. Right? Remember how that Gemara goes. Gemara says, Avraham created chakras. Right? How do you know Avraham created chakras? Because it said he got up in the morning and he stood up. He stood up. Okay. They say, oh, and standing up means praying. Okay, I'll give you one. Doesn't say praying, it says standing up, but okay, good. Yitzchak prayed mincha. How do you know he prayed mincha? Because it says in the afternoon he took a walk. And oh, it doesn't mean taking a walk. It means praying. Okay, but you're trying to prove to me that they prayed, right? So Avram stood up. It doesn't mean he stood up, it means he prayed. Yitzchak sichad, which either means to take a walk or to have a conversation, still doesn't say he prayed. Yaakov, what did he do at night? He went to sleep. Oh, it doesn't mean he touched down. It meant he davened by him. Come on. Now, on the one hand, this sounds like shul. Some people are standing, some people are talking, some people go to sleep. But seriously, what in the world is the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is proving that the three avos created the three tfilos, but they don't prove anything. They just prove that Avram stood up, and Yitzchak had a conversation, and Yaakov went to sleep, where he tried to make contact. And furthermore, we have a tradition, listen closely, that Avram Avin kept all the mitzvos, min ha-Torah, min derabbanan. The Gemara tells us in several places that Avram Avinu made an Eruv Tavshilin, which is a classic example of a latter rabbinic thing. How he did that, without a plastic bag, without a box of matzahs, I don't know. But Avram Avinu made an Eruv Tavshilin. Okay, let's accept that. So you're telling me the following. Avram Avinu made an Eruv Tavshilin. Never occurred to him to daven it. Ever. Yitzchak comes back from Shana Bet in Eretz Yisrael. And he sees his father like wrapping up his tefillin. And he goes, mincha! And his father's like, what's mincha? He says, oh, I have this 26-year-old Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. And he told me that in addition to chakras, he's supposed to daven it. What a ridiculous thing. How could it be that Yaakov Avinu made an Eretz Tavshil and he davened chakras? He never davened mincha. And then Yaakov, the whole Gemara, which was so famous, makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It doesn't prove anything. That doesn't make sense. What's the Gemara in Brachos telling us? Not that the Avos prayed in the morning and the afternoon and the evening, but that they taught us how to pray in the morning and the afternoon. Avram Avinu, his prayer was an amida. Avram Avinu related to God like a father. Wherever he went, there were miracles, whatever he needed. His prayer was an amida. It's not that he happened to pray in the morning. He prayed like one would pray in the morning, and that's what he taught us how to do. Yitzchak's prayer was fundamentally different. Tosfos Yeshanim, an older version of Tosfos, said that Avram prayed three times a day. But he prayed all three times the same way, because that's the way he related to God. Yitzchak had a whole new way of relating to God. Pachad Yitzchak. Chesed Lavram. Pachad Yitzchak. Yitzchak prayed three times a day as if God was a king. That's what it means he created mincha. that he taught us how you daven in the afternoon, and that's why we needed him. Because we needed a live human being to open up that path for us for how to relate to God. And Yaakov Avinu, who's running away from Eretz Israel, he doesn't know why. And he puts his head down to sleep, wondering, God, what are you thinking? You're going to give Israel to Esau? He taught us how you daven live. He was trying to just connect to God at that time. But the Gemara in Brachos is most certainly telling us is that if we want to know how to daven three times a day, we should channel our inner Avraham, our inner Yitzchak, and our inner Yaakov. These three people, and their wives, but it's a much longer shiur, taught us what it meant to relate to God, and that's what made them fathers. If we were looking for a biological father, it would all come from Avraham. The three of them, with their spouses, opened up these three ways of connecting to God. Rav Lopian, Rav Eliyahu Lopian, talks about it as if the people who laid the original train tracks. Once the train tracks are there, you can just go down the train tracks and everything's going to be fine. Abraham taught us how to daven Shabbos. Yitzchak taught us how to daven Mincha, like he's speaking to a king. And Yaakov taught us how to daven Ma'ariv, by trying to cut through everything and to get that Hashem. And I'll end by saying this is why we refer to prayer, because prayer is about making that connection and making it real. It's not about the words. It's not about the bowing. It's not about all that stuff. It's about finding God. That's why when we pray, we daven. I always used to wonder what the word daven meant. The word daven, surprisingly, is not a Yiddish word. It's just not a Yiddish word. What does the word daven mean? And there's lots of theories as to how the word daven came to represent our prayer. One of the most popular theories is that daven is a warping of an Aramaic word. Is a shortening of an Aramaic word. If you say it enough, it becomes daven. You know what that word is? De'avuhon. Of our fathers. Every time we daven, every time we take three steps forward, we do so only because of these three individuals who taught us three different ways. In the morning, try to focus on the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. Think of God as a father. Think of Avram's relationship. Remember that we're special. In the afternoon, shorter, focus on the second bracha, the power of God. Say those same words, but say them as if you're speaking to a king. And at night, look outside and see the darkness. Remember what Yaakov went through for the Ava Galus. Speak to God and try to make that connection. I'm sorry, I can't take questions. I don't make announcements in my email. Hope everybody enjoyed. Help with your mincha.
Thank you so much.